The telephone started ringing when he was halfway along the driveway which ran down the steep hill from Lake Drive to the house. Mort broke into a run, knowing he wasn't going to make it, but running anyway, cursing himself for his foolish reaction. Talk about Pavlov's dogs. He had opened the screen door and was fumbling with the knob of the inside door when the phone silenced. He stepped in, closed the door behind him, and looked at the telephone, which stood on a little antique desk Amy had picked up at a flea market in Mechanic Falls. He could, in that moment, easily imagine that the phone was looking back at him with studied mechanical impatience. "Don't ask me, boss. I don't make the news. I only report it." He thought that he ought to buy one of those machines that take messages. Or maybe not. When he thought about it carefully, he realized that the telephone was hardly his favorite gadget. If people really wanted you, they eventually called back. He made himself a sandwich and a bowl of soup and then discovered he didn't want them. He felt lonely, unhappy, and mildly infected by John Shooter's craziness. He was not much surprised to find that the sum of these feelings was sleepiness. He began to cast longing glances at the couch. "Okay," an interior voice whispered. "Remember, though, you can run, but you can't hide. This shit is still going to be here when you wake up." That was very true, he thought, but in the meantime it would all be gone, gone, definitely, blessedly gone. The one thing you could definitely say for short-term solutions was that they were better than nothing. He decided he would call home. His mind persisted in thinking of the dairy house as home, and he suspected that was a circumstance which would not soon change. Ask Amy to pull the copy of EQMM with sewing season in it and send it down by express mail. Then he would sack on the couch for a couple of hours. He would arise around 7 or so, go into the study, refreshed, and write a little more shit. "And shit is all you will write with that attitude," the interior voice reproached him. "Fuck you," Mort told it. One of the few advantages to living alone, so far as he could see, was that you could talk to yourself right out loud, without having anyone wonder if you were crazy or what. He picked up the phone and dialed a dairy number. He listened to the customary clicks of the long-distance connection being made, and then that most irritating of all telephone sounds, the da-da-da of a busy signal. Amy was on the telephone with someone, and when Amy really got going, a conversation could go on for hours, possibly days. "Oh, fuck, great," Mort cried, and jacked the handset back into the cradle hard enough to make the bell jingle faintly. "So, what now, little man?" He supposed he could call Isabel Fortin, who lived across the street, but that suddenly seemed like too much work and a pain in the ass besides. Isabel was already so deeply into his and Amy's breakup that she was doing everything but taking home movies. Also, it was already past 5 o'clock. The magazine couldn't actually start to move along the postal channel between Derry and Tashmore until tomorrow morning, no matter what time it was mailed today. He would try Amy later on this evening, and if the line to the house was busy again, or if Amy was, perchance, still on the same call, he would call Isabel with the message after all. For the moment, the siren song of the couch in the living room was too strong to be denied. Mort pulled the phone jack. Whoever had tried to call him just as he was coming down the driveway would have to wait a little longer, please, and thank you, and strolled into the living room. He propped the pillows in their familiar positions, one behind his head and one behind his neck, and looked out at the lake, where the sun was setting at the end of a long and spectacular golden track. "I have never felt so lonely and so utterly horrible in my whole life," he thought with some amazement. Then his lids closed slowly over his slightly bloodshot eyes, and Mort Rainey, who had yet to discover what true horror was all about, fell asleep. He dreamed he was in a classroom. It was a familiar classroom, although he couldn't have said just why. He was in the classroom with John Shooter. Shooter was holding a grocery bag in the curve of one arm. He took an orange out of the bag and bounced it reflectively up and down in his hand. He was looking in Mort's direction, but not at Mort. His gaze seemed fixed on something beyond Mort's shoulder. Mort turned and saw a cinder block wall and a blackboard and a door with a frosted glass upper panel. After a moment, he could puzzle out the backward writing on the frosted glass. "Welcome to the School of Hard Knocks," it said. The writing on the blackboard was easier to read. "Sowing Season, a short story by Morton Rainey," it said. Suddenly something whizzed over Mort's shoulder, just missing his head. The orange. As Mort cringed back, the orange struck the blackboard, burst open with a rotten, squashing sound, and splattered gore across what had been written there. He turned back to Shooter. "Stop that!" he cried in a shaky, scolding voice. Shooter dipped into his bag again. "What's the matter?" Shooter asked in his calm, stern voice. "Don't you recognize blood oranges when you see them? What kind of writer are you?" He threw another one. It splattered crimson across Mort's name and began to drip slowly down the wall. "No more!" Mort screamed. But Shooter dipped slowly, implacably, into the bag again. His long, calloused finger sank into the skin of the orange he brought out. Blood began to sweat its way onto the orange's skin in pinprick droplets. "No more, no more, please, no more. I'll admit it. I'll admit anything, everything, if you just stop. Anything, if you'll just stop. If you'll..." "Stop. If you'll just stop." He was falling. Mort grabbed at the edge of the couch just in time to save himself a short and probably painful trip to the living room floor. He rolled toward the back of the couch and simply lay there for a moment, clutching the cushions, shivering, and trying to grasp at the ragged tails of the dream. Something about a classroom and blood oranges and the School of Hard Knocks. Even this was going, and the rest was already gone. It had been real. Whatever it was, much too real. At last he opened his eyes, but there was precious little to see. He had slept until long past sundown. He was horribly stiff, especially at the base of his neck, and he suspected he had been asleep at least 4 hours, maybe five. He felt his way cautiously to the living room light switch, managed to avoid the octagonal glass-top coffee table for a change. He had an idea the coffee table was semi-sentient, and given to shifting its position slightly after dark, the better to hack away at his shins, and then went into the front hall to try Amy again. On the way, he checked his watch. It was 10:15. He had slept over 5 hours, nor was this the first time, and he wouldn't even pay for it by tossing and turning all night. Judging by past experience, he would be asleep as soon as his head hit the pillow in the bedroom. He picked up the phone, was momentarily puzzled by the dead silence in his ear, then remembered he had yanked the damn thing's fang. He pulled the wire through his fingers until he got to the jack, turned around to plug it in, and paused. From here, he could look out the small window to the left of the door. This gave him an angle of vision on the back porch, where the mysterious and unpleasant Mr. Shooter had left his manuscript under a rock yesterday. He could also see the garbage cabinet. And there was something on it. Two somethings, actually. A white something and a dark something. The dark something looked nasty. For one frightening second, Mort thought a giant spider was crouched there. He dropped the phone cord and turned on the porch light in a hurry. Then there was a space of time, he didn't know just how long and didn't care to know, when he was incapable of further movement. The white thing was a sheet of paper, a perfectly ordinary 8.5-inch by 11-inch sheet of typing paper. Although the garbage cabinet was a good 15 feet away from where Mort was standing, the few words on it were printed in large strokes, and he could read them easily. He thought Shooter must have used either a pencil with an extremely soft lead or a piece of artist's charcoal. "Remember, you have 3 days," the message read. "I am not joking." The black thing was Bump. Shooter had apparently broken the cat's neck before nailing him to the roof of the garbage cabinet with a screwdriver from Mort's own tool shed.